You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic this month in WordPress and Tech. It's our monthly roundtable show. It's our first roundtable show for 2025. I've got a great panel of WordPress entrepreneurs and influencers and grandees. We've only got a few stories to discuss. It should be a great show. We're going to be talking about Joyce DeVolk's plans for WordPress. We're going to be talking about a Chinese artificial language model. DeepSeek, that's throwing the hand grenade. Should be a fascinating show. I'm going to let the panel quickly introduce themselves. Let's start with ladies first. Let's start with Heather. Heather, would you like to quickly introduce yourself?
Yes, hi. I'm Heather Wild-Renzi. I am the CTO of The Difference Consulting, and I'm also known as the Unicorn Whisperer.
I've got friend of the show, Katie. Katie, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi. I'm Katie Keith. I'm founder and CEO at Barn2 Plugins.
I've got a great podcaster and friend of the show and got Matt Medeiros with us. Matt, would you like to quickly introduce yourself?
Sure. Matt Medeiros. You can find me at Gravity Forms and WP Minute.
Thank you, Matt. I've got Mark. Mark has agreed to be a regular on the show. Bless his little heart. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself? You're muted, Mark. Oh, all right. Let's go on to Spencer.
I got it. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, if only my microphone would work.
Got that problem.
Yeah. So I'm Mark Benzacane. Been around in WordPress for a decade or so, and I am working with Main WP, and you can find me everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
Mark, I think you're on the wrong mic. I'm going to tell you.
And that's the problem. StreamYard will not let... We're going to talk about StreamYard first.
You're on the mic that's around the corner in the bathroom down the hall.
Yeah.
He's been driving him crazy.
He's so annoyed right now. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been dealing with that.
It's really doing no good whatsoever. So Mark, I'm going to switch to something else.
Instead of Matt having a go at me, he's going to have a go at Mark. See, but it's not our up. There we go. Matt's a bit of a sound nutty at heart. So there. Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself?
Spencer Foreman from WP Launchify, and I want to say, hi, Katie. I haven't seen you since bourbon and bowling. You look lovely today. I also want to say that I've been playing around with AI, and one of the voices in my 11 labs is the Katie Keith voice. Like,
Dad, you got a British woman, have you?
It is your... I'm pretty sure that they basically took your videos and trained it, so I'm going to be doing a little test side by side. See how it works out.
That's fantastic. And I've got my patient co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Kurt Von Annen with Mañana No Mas. And I stepped aside to get my official Barn2 hat on for the show since Katie's here.
Right, before we go into the meat and potatoes of this, should be this very interesting show, I've got a message from one of the show's major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I also want to point out that we've got a great resource for WordPress developers, designers, and power users. That's a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and special offers from the major sponsors, plus a lot of other great stuff. You can get all these free goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals?
A dollar.
You're not going to get a dollar. That's all you're going to get from that page, but there we go. So let's just jump into it. Joyce DeVerck, well-known WordPress influencer, plugin entrepreneur. He slapped down a plan for WordPress, and the great leader wasn't very impressed, I don't think. It got nowhere. But so let's start with Katie. Well, Katie, they seemed very reasonable suggestions, didn't they? But didn't seem to go down that well, Katie.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jonathan. I think
That's why I love you, Katie, because you keep agreeing with me.
It'll never happen again. But on that particular issue, I think that Joost was being really reasonable. He'd outlined a really comprehensive, sensible plan for the future governance of WordPress, which people are obviously more and more saying has major problems at the moment. And Matt Mullenweg, and disappointingly, his response was to tell Joost that the only way that can happen is if he forks WordPress. And Joost was not proposing to fork WordPress. Mullenweg is trying to imply that that is what he was meaning. It is not. That was just his snide response to say, go and fork it then. You're not doing it in the WordPress that I have control over. And I think that's a real shame because it does need that type of leadership. And I think a lot of people would agree.
Yeah. So, Matt, what was your response? I was surprised that this came from Joost, really. It was a surprising, this whole thing came out and where it came from, because I always saw him really quite tight with Matt, really, in a way.
Yeah, so I'll just keep my response short to give room for everybody else. But I think that this is one of these, this is the line in the sand for Mullenweg to finally say, this is mine, it's no one else's, right? I think if you can't see that now, it's simply not going to change unless there is some, and Spencer knows this probably better than anyone, some 0.0001% chance the law makes him change. Then maybe we have a chance. But otherwise, if you're sticking with WordPress, you're sticking with Mullenweg. And these comments and this post is really, exemplifies that. You know, and also, I think it's crazy to think that he would give up control. I don't think that you can just hope someone like him is going to give up control. And I think it's a little bit of an uphill battle at this stage in the game. So great that sort of Joost and Kareem signaled this, but it's also nothing that I can see that would actually kick into action because of the control that Matt has. And this is the line of the sand for me anyway.
Well, what do you reckon, Spencer?
Since we're on the new year, I want to just say I love seeing you guys. And it reminds me of how much fun we used to have for the first 12, 15 years. All of us, everybody here pretty much, has been at least 5 or 10 years. Like, I've been in this almost 19 years, right? And it was always fun. And it was the place on Thursdays or when we did it. Like, I'd love to come to the shows and I'd love to meet everybody. And you know, I mean, you might be in person. Mullenweg is taking a shit in the well of WordPress. And it's incumbent upon the rest of us to remind ourselves of how awesome we all are and how much fun we have and how much love we have and how much invested time and effort and emotional energy we have. Because whatever he is struggling with, I feel very sorry for him, because everything he says and does now is indicative of either gaslighting, mental health issues, or just outright he's not a person looking for a positive outcome for the group of people who have all signed up for what he told us about 20 years ago. And that is sad to me, but we all have a choice. This is the year 2025. I've taken lots of affirmations of how I'm going to treat. I'm only going to speak in positive tones, but we can win through the power of our collective individual choices to be positive and band together and do the right thing. And he will gaslight till the end, because Yost is not necessarily my first choice, but everything he said there were things that we talked about on the show that I was talking about 2 years ago. Like, let's do it. Remember, like Spence was like, let's have a committee and let's do this, because Mullenweg has been revealed by his own actions to have been lying and deceitful, and the court has proven it out. And even when he's losing, he's losing, and he has not got any rational, objective goal that will service any of the individuals in the community. But why should we give up what we built? So stay the course and act positively, but there's no amount of his answers that are ever going to make sense to anybody, because he's just going to, you say right, he says left. You say, okay, left. He goes, no, up. And you go up, you go down, until he loses it all.
Yeah. So Mark,
that's all I got to say about that, by the way.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Mark. Have you had any thoughts why he chose, you know, over the Christmas period, New Year, did you have any thoughts why he chose to go public and do what he did at WordPress USA and get into this confrontation with WP Engine? Have you come to any conclusion? Because I've had a lot of people DM me and send me stuff, and I've got my own conclusion about it, but have you had any thoughts about it?
I don't have any thoughts as to the timing, other than, you know, WordCamp US is where he's going to get the largest number of eyes and ears on him. I think all year round, especially since the State of the Word itself has become kind of this online separate event. And I don't know about the timing. I think that, I'm going to throw out the N word here, which is narcissism. And I think that that's what we're dealing with. And the thing about Matt in particular is since 2014, I think was the first time I heard the term benevolent dictator being thrown out about him. And I've been saying this for quite a while, and I've said it on a number of shows, actually, so it's nothing original. But the thing about a benevolent dictator is they'll give up being benevolent, but they'll never give up being a dictator. And once that benevolence goes away and you see the true colors, and I honestly think, I'm with Spencer on this, that you have to take into consideration mental health and all these things. And I think that Matt's seeing things in a binary way, because everything, suggested is something that people have been saying forever. It's just someone with his amount of influence, you know, means a lot more. And it was not this binary thing. And I think that Matt's thinking in terms of binary, either they're with me or they're against me. And nobody's ever said they don't want Matt as part of this. Everyone said, we still want Matt. We still want Matt to be a leader. We think that Matt has, is amazing, and he's done amazing things. And even when they're proposing, alternate boards and things like that, no one has ever said, we don't want Matt on the board. But the problem is the threat of giving up control, 100% control, it's either all or nothing. And so that's where this fork conversation comes in, because it's like, well, it's all or nothing. And so if you're going to give me nothing, then you're going to have to fork it.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? Sorry. This is my legal break. All the opinions rendered today by all participants of the panel are editorial opinion only. Any statements made are not the statements of Jonathan Denwood or the WP Tonic Show.
Absolutely nothing to do with
we are based upon legal facts in court file documents Any statements as to the intention or opinion or the actions of Mr. Mullenweg are not anything other than editorial comment on current news. Thank you for that break. Just in case somebody's deciding to add anybody to the list of defendants here.
Yeah, I want to put this to you, Kurt. I did some very basic research. Automatic has between 1,700 and 2,000 employees. The average salary of those employees is 130,000 per employee, Kurt. That works out at 260 million per year. That's a burn rate of 21 million per month. The main income generator is WooCommerce. And some of the major hosting companies, stuff that was sent to me, were building their own subscription systems, and they were going to basically cut him out. And one of those was WP Engine. And that wasn't going down too well because the rest of Automatic, in my opinion, is a load of junk. That doesn't really generate that much income. So everything Mark outlined is true, but I also think there was certain business realities that were driving the great leader's action as well. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Well, I think what you're alluding to and what Spencer opened up with all come together. And it's unfortunate, and I seem like a positive person, but I also am very realistic about everything else I've experienced. For instance, I can remember the good old days when times were fun. I used to road race motorcycles, and it used to be camping and campouts and drag races on the straights and burnout contests and fun things with other competitors. And you would meet people from all over the globe with a common interest. And now if you go to a racetrack and do a wheelie, they'll give you a $50 fine. The problem with giving up control, as Mark had alluded to, is think about like Steve Jobs. Apple was fun. Apple was innovative. Apple came out with really cool things. And Steve Jobs was this crazy dude at the top of the pyramid that was seen unhinged. And what happened? He lost a little bit of control. And next thing you know, it kind of snowballed on him and he was phased out. And I'm sure someone like Matt looks at this and goes, this is my thing. It's mine. Too bad if you don't like that it's mine, but it's mine. Why would I voluntarily give stuff up in it? You know, go figure it out. If you want to do it on your own, go figure it out. And in some respects, I can't blame him. Doesn't mean we have to like everything he does, but it's his.
Right, Heffer. The biggest issue, Kurt brought it up, but that's like the cap on this. Raise your hand. Who believed until recently that that WordPress.org was really truly open source and there was a foundation and that it really wasn't owned by Matt personally? Because
I can't believe that.
When I say lie, I mean he promoted publicly. And the reason he's not giving this up, Spencer's view, editorial view, because he's always known that it was his and that we were all doing a Tom Sawyer. And now that the secret's out, it's like his whole fortune is based upon a false premise, a bullshit.
Well, I think you're right.
Two is the liability. Hold on. Two is liability, and then I'm done. Tax liability, legal liability, the action like if he gives up now, unless we let him get off the hook, which by the way, WP Engine offered and he didn't take it, he's got to fight this till he's done. Because he's not willing to compromise. But the liability he's exposing by opening the books is like, Jesus Christ, it's been 20 years of false this, false that. Everything was built on false. And even Otto has given up. Otto in Reddit has been blasted out of there because everybody's like, it's you and Matt. Like, and everybody can see the truth. And when is he going to admit to it? Sorry, but Jonathan, please.
No, there's the Sid Lord of WordPress. Well, you know, he just played the game, didn't he? He kind of winked and nodded to the investors. They got a certain story. And then the people that believed his nonsense, they got a wink and nod. And then there was the people that knew it was all nonsense, but it served their commercial interests. So they just went along. So he's just one of these types that depends what bucket you're in, you get a different story, won't you? So, but there's plenty of his type around. Heather, do you want to comment on this or shall we go on to the next story, Heather?
The only thing I have to add is that it's what I've said all along. He has a responsibility to his shareholders, and that's above all he ever has. So, I mean, this is pure 100% like out of the playbook from any Silicon Valley, any business anywhere.
Right. End stage capitalism at its worst. Oligarchy crushed the soul of everybody who trusted you to build a community and a business because you can, at the expense of everybody except for these mysterious shareholders who were probably just billionaires themselves or equity funds themselves, which is back to my point. We can only defeat this by acting as individuals in concert of agreement. It's very Marie Antoinette, unfortunately, or Julius Caesar, but it's the truth.
Yeah. On to the next story. Global tech shares fall as China AI chatbot DeepSeek spooks investors. That's one way of putting it. Talk about a hand grenade that's just pull the pin and you just throw it in. So, Heather, what do you reckon? I reckon there's a few people.
Yeah. Please don't use DeepSeek. Please don't use DeepSeek.
Please don't use it, please. It's Chinese, please.
Yeah. I mean, people are upset because it is they don't know how it was trained. Like they don't know if China's lying about how cheaply it was trained. They don't know anything about it, but they do know that anything you put into it is immediately going to China. So, like every question you ask. Every bit of data that is on your computer, if you install it, it has hooks that will just take all of the stuff on your machine and send it right to China. If you can, you have to connect your Gmail account to use the web version. So like all of your emails go right to China. If you say, please don't use DeepSeek, please don't use DeepSeek, please don't use DeepSeek. So yes.
I have a question for Heather. Everything that you said, I agree with. Do you really believe that the other oligarchs in the US-based countries are not doing exactly the same thing? Because I think we were just discussing how somebody we trusted as a family member has screwed everybody in some sense. Don't you believe that with Zuck and Elon and all the rest of them doing worse? Sam Altman, we trust Sam Altman? I mean...
at least we have the option to opt out of the data sharing ostensibly in OpenAI and all of those. But I mean, it's right there in the terms and conditions of DeepSeek that all of your data will be shared with the government of China. At least they're honest about it. But yes, it's all of your data that you put into DeepSeek. It's all of your data on your machine that is transmitted on any machine that is used now belongs to China. So please do not use DeepSeek.
Yeah, but you can run it locally, can't you, Heather?
No. Even if you do.
Oh, right.
It has hooks.
All right. Matt, I see what Heather's pointing out, but all this data was the other systems. It was going to Microsoft or it was going to OpenAI. I'm not sure I really trust those people.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the same.
They're oligarchs. The Chinese Communist Party is just one big oligarch. And you got these American oligarchs. They're not, I don't find any of them very attractive. What do you recommend?
Yeah, I agree with the same sentiment, right? Like, I don't know where my data is going. It's funny that, Google, what I've said this in a blog post before, Google stole from us and then OpenAI stole from Google, which is like stealing from us. And then, this DeepSeek is probably stealing from everyone. It is just this crazy, crazy game. I don't trust where my data is going at any social media site, right? Which is why I'm so you know, it's why I'm so for WordPress and publishing yourself, RSS feeds, all this other stuff, right? Like I'm a true believer in that stuff. So it's really weird to be in like this state war for AI, and like the way that you as an American can help your country is to pay ChatGPT over DeepSeek. It's just freaking weird to like have this discussion so early. Like I'm still trying to figure out how AI affects all of us. So I mean, I don't trust any of them at the end of the day. They're useful. It's a parlor trick for some things. And just to touch on that last subject, I think just this threat of AI and this fast-paced innovation that we're seeing is another like if I try to put some reason behind why Mullenweg is acting the way he is, it's because of this stuff, right? This stuff is just eating up everything and probably his own valuation. I don't trust any of them at the end of the day.
So what do you reckon, Katie? Are you sending your data to China?
No, I think it's an interesting thing, but it's only going to disrupt things briefly. I mean, look at what's happening with TikTok. Surely if they're sending all the data to China, it's going to get banned in the US very quickly. But one thing that struck me was the environmental side of it, that they've found a much more efficient way to do AI. And I'm hoping that the biggest long-term impact of DeepSeek will be to sort of inspire the other AIs to reduce their footprint, and that benefits them as much as the environment. So there are commercial reasons for them to find ways that use less resources, because that is a huge problem with the current ones.
Yeah, you make a good point there, because, you know, the whole debate about nuclear power, you know, I'm not totally negative about nuclear power, but I'm not totally positive about it, because I think there's a lot of different arguments. But as soon as these people, they can see a ton of money, we're gonna build nuclear plants everywhere in the US, we're gonna build them here, anywhere, end of story. I just find the whole thing, in a very cynical part of me, hilarious. And it really shows the state of the country, really. But that's what, you know, part of me, yes, I agree with Heather, you know, we're dealing with the Chinese Communist Party. What a lovely group of people. What a charming group of people.
Let's just say, wait, I love the Chinese people on an individual level. They are lovely. They are wonderful people.
Don't you guys find it ironic, by the way, that this DeepSeek, and by the way, Heather, I appreciate, I just unhooked my Google account and just use a blank fake email for it. Good advice. But don't you find it ironic? Because I'm trying to, for 2025, stay out of the drama of politics. Like, it's just been too much everything all day. But don't you find it ironic? It's like inverted world, that aside from, you know, the leaders of the Communist Party there, that the people of China, the life they lead, everything that they want and do, it's like upside down world, because the way we're heading, America is going to be the fascist state where the rest of the world, including these guys like the Chinese inventor of DeepSeek, have to break through what is amounting to potentially a really fractured kind of fascist situation, whether it become from the oligarchs with the technology or whether it become the politics. And I find it really strange, because if you do look into the way normal Chinese people live and what they want, for a country with so much dense population, it's a pretty interesting thing. But obviously it only exists because of this like hammer from above. But that benevolent hammer up until now has been based upon growth and monetization and things that are for the benefit of the people, because somewhere there is smart enough people at the top to know that they could be overrun by the sheer volume of unhappy peasants. Whereas here in America, the oligarchs think they can take a shit in everybody's coffee and get away with it. And I think we're going to end up having these companies like DeepSeek break through the wall of what's becoming like this fascist, dictatorial kind of a government setup. Because right now I'm blown away that somebody like Zuckerberg, and I mean, Bezos, yeah, but Zuckerberg flipped and just worships the altar, and everything about Meta is now like, screw you and screw your family and screw your pictures and screw it. And it's like,
well, why is that? You know, you're talking about an individual that would sell his own mother into slavery. So what are you?
please. He's saying that the Chinese government, maybe not, but the Chinese innovation, yes, you give up all your stuff to them, but they may be the thing that breaks through a lot of the problems that we've created for ourselves. I mean, if they're not interested in just rolling over us, they may offer a way to break through a lot of stuff, because who's going to save us from ourselves at this point?
So
everybody has a Facebook page.
So, Mark, kind of the thing that really interests me about this, Mark, is that, and which the bit that, you know, Spencer touched on, is that it's got some relevance to the WordPress situation, because, like, the great leaders' actions have turned a venture capitalist organization, which normally you don't have warm, fuzzy feelings towards, it's made them a kind of the hero of the situation. He's done the practically impossible. And you observe the same thing here, that in some way you're glorifying something that comes from the Chinese Communist Party, but there's part of you say, good to them, they're upsetting, they've shafted these oligarchs. So you got this strange feeling that you're supporting people that deep down you shouldn't be supporting, but yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Do you think I'm on the right track there at all, Mark?
Well, you know, I think like the saying goes, even a broken clock is right twice a day. And it's the same kind of thing. Just because you can hate a bunch of stuff about anything, you can also find things to like. And Katie pointed out the environmental impact of what DeepSeek is doing. That's huge. And, you know, if we can take some of that, I mean, my attitude towards anything bigger than me is don't trust any of it, because it's going to turn on you. But that's just it. You know, what happens when you have more money than God? The only thing that's left to get is more power, right? And so with the Chinese government, anything that comes out of China, you have to assume it's like required that it's going to go to the government. And the whole concept behind communism is what's, you know, good for one is good for all kind of thing. And then you look at us, where we're, you know, capitalistic. So our fundamental where we start may be in different places, but it all boils down to somebody somewhere wanting more power.
Yeah, I think it's also the American condition, because Americans, just if you're from Europe, you know, until the 80s, you had dictatorships in Spain, in Portugal, where, you know, I knew people that moved to London from Spain, from Portugal, and they did it because if you just followed the line, you were fine. But if you are an artist or you had something that the regime wanted, and you fell out with these people in Spain and Portugal, you were done. You were going to end up in a gulag, in a prison. You were going to have everything taken. Your family were going to have everything taken. And it's the same in China. As long as you're not on the radar and you just do what you're told, you'll be fine. But if you fall out, you've got a problem. And I just don't think Americans understand the reality of living under one of these regimes. It doesn't register with them, because, you know, it's just out of their life experience, Mark. Oh, well, that was a great spot. First half, that was cheerful, wasn't it? But there we go. We're going to go for our break. We've got a great panel. I've not interrupted too much. People said I need to shut up. I listen to you, tribe. I listen to your feedback. You don't appreciate my English sarcasm sometimes. But I understand it's stressful if you're American. But there we go. We will be back for the second half, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back. We've had a fantastic first half. The panel, we've really had some fantastic insights. Before we go into the second half, if you're a WordPress professional and you're looking for a great hosting partner that offers a lot more, all the best WordPress technology, that, so you can offer it to your clients. If this sounds interesting, why don't you go over to wp-tonic.com/partners, wp-tonic.com/partners, and see the great packages we can offer to you, the WordPress professional. So let's go in to the next story. And that came from Matt, the great Matt, who's with us. You did an interesting video that I thought you brought up some interesting thoughts. I built an app with AI. Now I'm scared for WordPress. That was clickbaity, was it? But it was interesting. So maybe you can tell us your conclusions, why you made the video.
Yeah, so I'll try to fast track it as best as possible. So about a year and a half ago, when like consumers started getting their hands on this stuff, and or is at least more in the, you know, in the media, I was just finding everything that ChatGPT and Claude at the time was, you know, again, just like parlor tricks, very surface layer stuff. And even fast forwarding today, I think on the marketing side and the creative side, it still, you know, lacks a lot of output to be desired. In other words, like if I'm writing about something in the WordPress world, which AI and barely a human can totally understand, you know, it doesn't have the context that we all do on this panel. So I find it for my work to be lackluster. I can only assume it's also like that in other sectors, right? Not just WordPress, right? WordPress can't be the only niche that AI doesn't know about. However, when I had a pneumonia back in November and I couldn't move off the couch, I was like, let me just try this coding thing that everyone talks about. So I started hitting Claude and ChatGPT directly, saying, hey, build me this software, build me this app. Let me take this code and then put it on Cloudflare and stuff like that. Did I just lose my video?
Yeah, obviously the AI didn't appreciate you. Yeah. I mean, you're back in there.
Let me switch.
Chinese government.
Yeah, I'll continue my rant and then I'll switch my cord. So then I was using ChatGPT Claude and running into the token limits. Then I found apps like Cursor, Bolt, Replit, and I was able to build this little RSS reader. It's at pulsewp.cc. It's just a RSS aggregator for WordPress news. There's a gazillion RSS apps out there, but it's just simply built my way using React in a way that, I know nothing about React. And I was able to build this app, database backend, yada, 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 collectively in 20, 30-ish hours, right, of just, prompting AI. And, when I look at the inevitable threat to WordPress in the long term, it's, can I build my own CMS with AI? The answer is going to be yes. I mean, is it going to be great? No, but it's going to be yes. And then I'm going to be able to eat up any other little apps that I run on my phone or on my computer, right? So if I have a social sharing app, I can build my own. If I have a basic to-do app, I can build my own. The obvious thing is like, how does that stuff sustain? Is there something that's going to improve it for you, patch it for you? I think the answer will still be yes. I think eventually you'll have these agents that run in the background that continuously improve your software just like a human would. But it has unlocked a new appreciation for me in two different ways. Number one, makes me really appreciate WordPress, right? You know, when you look at it and you say, hey, this is 20 years of this, you know, you could call it a monolithic app. It's old. It's, you know, PHP, HTML. No one's using this stuff anymore, man. I get it, but it's completely done for you. And I had the comments really interesting on my video. The comments were interesting because there's a lot of people saying things like, you know, oh, AI, you can replace, let's say Gravity Forms, for instance, right? People say, oh, you know, I don't need to pay a few hundred dollars a year to Gravity Forms. I think what this is going to materialize, at least in the short term, is like, it's going to take me many, many hours to do, I don't know, a contact form with a Zapier connection connected up to MailChimp. It's going to take me many hours. And I think what that's going to do is people are going to look at the WordPress plugins in the space and go, oh, it's only a couple hundred bucks a year. Just give me that. It's done. It's done. And I can put it on 1,000 sites. So it's going to help frame what it actually takes to make great software once people start learning how to do this stuff on its own. So a little bit afraid for WordPress because I think it decreases market share. And how does WordPress survive? I don't have the answer for that. Somehow WordPress has to ride this this rocket ship at the same time. And I think Matt Mullenweg knows that. I think Automattic knows that. I think that's why you're starting to see a lot of automaticians put out content around AI, because something has to happen with WordPress and AI.
Yeah, so thanks for that, Matt. Heather, I just don't think it's WordPress. Obviously, both me and Matt, we got, you know, business-wise and our emotion around WordPress. But I think this will affect the whole SaaS world in a way, doesn't it? Because I think the engineering cost just reduces, so the amount of players that can enter into a market. So the pinch point in every business model, there's pinch points, you know, where that's where you make the real money, is when you control the pinch. I call it the pinch point. In WordPress, it was hosting. That's the pinch point where you can make real money. It was the engineering costs, but when the engineering costs really lower dramatically, the pinch point moves somewhere else. Is that making sense, Heather?
Yeah, and the reality is we don't know what this is going to look like, and we don't know how fast it's coming. So we don't, like, there's a lot of unknowns here, and there's a reason that people are scared. I do my best every day as the CTO of my company to train everyone how to enhance themselves, how to make themselves more productive, like 2000x themselves so that they won't become obsolete. And the people that are going to get left behind now, the people that need to worry, the companies that need to worry, are the ones that are not adapting. I was in a meeting with Jeffrey Katzenberg recently, where he was saying he's been through this before, where with animation, when animators went from hand drawing to digital animation, and the people that were just hand draw, like the people that would not adapt to using digital animation, they just completely were out of a job, they were out of a career, they were done. And now those digital animators, the ones that are not adapting to using AI tools, those are done. So the ones that are adapting and using AI tools, and like, he's like, the animation's not done. Animation's not over. Animation will still exist. But animators have to adapt and change. And that's the same thing everywhere.
Yeah. So, Kate, have you had any thoughts on that? And where does the, I call it, this is my own term in my own mind, the pinch point. Where does the pinch point move? Because it always moves somewhere else, doesn't it? Or what's your own thoughts about this, Katie?
Well, I agree with Heather about the fact that people need to adapt, but I'm not super worried about it in the sense of, let's draw an analogy between when people move from writing binary code to using high-level programming tools that would write that for them. So I see it as a similar situation now where AI is kind of abstracting the coding, but you still need a certain skill as a software developer and also everything else, a business person, a marketer, if you want to create a sellable product, which is necessary from a skilled person in order to be successful. So I see it as a tool that people can adapt to improve their efficiencies, improve their output, rather than as a threat that will replace them, unless they refuse to adapt, of course, when it could be a problem.
Yeah, I see where you come, but I think, so Spencer, what do you, any thoughts on this? Well, you've had some thoughts, you've been sharing them, haven't you?
First of all, I don't know what Matt has done with his mic, but you are velvety smooth on that mic, dude. That's just, you get that down there. I'm jealous. Okay. I think that the thing that...
Well, he is the sad nuts.
The takeaway that I get, because I have been really deep dived, if that's the right proper English. I've been coding since the beginning of WordPress, but between, let's say, 2006 and 2019, not really seriously. From 2019 to 2023, you know, I wrote a couple plugins that built businesses around. But what used to take me a week or a month, I could do now in half an hour, depending on how much I have to argue with my LLM of the day. They each have personalities. They each have quirks. I've now, for clients and for myself, started to piece those together.
They've become your new ladies, haven't they?
I used to not be able to say, because I have three ladies' names in this house. I can't say any of them, you know, because it triggers. But now that the Chinese government is listening to me and the other...
Well, everybody's listening, aren't they? Everybody wants to...
I can't say anything. I can't even think it. But now I've sort of woven into my workflow. This is important for what I think brings it all together. WordPress is a framework, allows me, much like IKEA furniture or Legos, to weave together way more complex things with the help of my LLM of the day in minutes or hours, that while it could and would and perhaps might in some other world replace the framework, would be a waste of my time. So, for example, Barn 2 plugins, an amazing suite of very cool accessories, a lot of them focused on WooCommerce stuff. I can now sit down, because I write launch flows, I can make those two things meld together without breaking the parts and without spending a month for a crafted, better, like, snap together solution. And I think that's where this is going to really come into play. Obviously, for marketing and automation, for people's doing stuff on the site, for customer support. But from the coding, making WordPress plugins infinitely easier than when you try to do a from scratch standalone app. And for that, I think the future of WordPress is really bright, because some of the things I've released this week in the past would have been like, oh, I can't be bothered, I'll put the code out. So now I can just launch them as ready to go products. I put them into the launch kit and people love it because they don't have to spend a fortune, like $200, to buy a one-off little tchotchke to attach A to B. Spence just did it with a snippet, or they can do it themselves.
Yeah, I think that's quite insightful. So, Mark, so I think what Spencer's outlining is where you have a more bespoke world where it could actually benefit WordPress more than SaaS, where you have the possibility of a more bespoke solution for a client using a suite of WordPress core plugins, and you can bespoke the solution so it really meets each individual client's needs, rather than ending up with a very bloated solution. What's your own thoughts on that, Mark?
Well, I think that...
Oh, before you go into it, I'm going to have to pop out. Can you take over, Kurt, for a second? I'll be back in a minute.
I feel like what we're talking about is, everybody is kind of mentioning it. It's everyone says, oh, you can be really good at AI if you know the prompt, if you become a bit prompter, but I also feel like you need to know the context for which you're writing and what it's good at and what it's not. A few weeks ago, I like to dabble in stock trading, and I come up with all these theories and I like to test them. And I'm like, I'm just going to come up with a WordPress plugin that I can throw in. And based on certain criteria, I have it scan all the stock symbols and look for certain patterns that I like and see if this works or that works. And I can try theories out in, like, literally, I was able to have AI write this in about 2 hours one night. And And it showed me within a matter of a week that my theory was crap, which normally it would take me a month to do that. So understanding like the context. But the other thing that I find interesting about AI is you can give exactly the same prompt for a piece of code and it'll give you five different pieces of code, which means, you know, which does cause me, because I am not a coder. I used to, but, you know, and I, you know, but if you were to throw code at me, I couldn't tell you if it was really great or really bad. But I could tell you if it worked. And so when it spits out five different answers, I kind of feel like until AI can give me the exact same answer for the exact same prompt every single time, I don't know that there's a lot to worry about as far as people being replaced.
Well, and Mark, I think you hit on something really kind of integral there. And that's when you work with a plugin company and you see the support tickets that come in and people will say, can you explain to me why in the new version this code doesn't work anymore? And I look at the support ticket and I go, what the hell is this? Like, where did this come from? You know, and it's like, well, dude, if you've customized something, it's your baby now. You maintain it. Like, why are you coming to me with this stuff?
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of this ambiguous line that's being created now, where who's in charge of something after delivery, right? Like, oh, I bought this plugin and I get support. Yeah, you get support on the crap we put in it, not on the stuff you decided to add from, to your point, five different versions of AI.
By the way, I want to add on that too, because one of the things that's awesome about WordPress, but it's part of this leadership problem. When I dig in, my business today is curating out from 80,000 choices, which ones to work from, because again, like Legos or IKEA, then I know in my audience of however many that they have a consistent base. When something changes or breaks, which happens every single day, by making sure that they're all using the same ingredients, like one of those cooking shows, I now can band-aid together or piece together or fix, and I see the patterns. When you have the flea market of random open source of anywhere from anyone, anytime, and then they're motivated, by the way, to sell, and all of those forces make it a nightmare, like a flea market where you're trying to build a house by buying parts. So one of the things that really has to happen with this is that if we come to standards, naming conventions, UI conventions, CSS that's shared, we really could just supercharge WordPress to work with the AIs to get, like Mark says, consistent answers. But if you ask one of the search engines or ChatGPT or any of the AIs right now an answer, the other problem you have is like they might go through 18 years of legacy WordPress stuff and give you the right answer from 2011 that's not the right answer in 2025 and won't be the right answer tomorrow because Katie changed her plugin, Spence changed his plugin, WooCommerce did this. And you have to know that the AIs couldn't understand that. And nobody's giving authority from the top down because it serves his interest not to, to allow us to just standardize one framework, one CSS class, you know, like something we all can build stuff from.
One ring. I've got, so panel, I propose to wrap up the show now, but got a couple more stories. Can some of you stay on for a little while to discuss the other stories? Are you up for it? Some of you? I think Heather's got to clear off, and I know Kirk has to, but I'm going to give you a chance. So, Heather, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and your thoughts, Heather?
You can find me everywhere at Heatheriel on all the socials, and I am at heatheriel.com.
And Kirk, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Everything online that is Mañana No Más generally leads to me, you know, for X and Facebook and all that. And if you want to reach out personally, the best place to find me is LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Annen on LinkedIn, which makes it easy to know you've got me.
And he is the Storm King. So there we go. And Mark, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
You can catch me around that. The main WP Discord channel. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me in the Slacks everywhere, post status, etc. WP Minute channel. You can find me Blue Sky, which I'm slowly but surely getting into. And you know, just about everywhere. And I'm at Mark Benzak just about everywhere.
Yeah, next month,
Ark Benzakane on LinkedIn.
And next month, you're so at your night problems with StreamYard, weren't you?
Well, it's a StreamYard issue. They even say it's a StreamYard issue. So I don't know. They need to sort it out.
Yeah. So, Katie, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
So my company website is barn2.com. And to find me personally, the best place would be Twitter, which is Katie Keith Barn2.
Yes, the voice, the new AI voice. Matt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you? Matt? Wake up, Matt. I know it was boring, but...
My AI agent wasn't...
people would not like not to listen, actually.
Gravityforms.com, you can find me there at my day job, and of course, the WPMinute.com.
And Spencer, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
You can find me in the hot tub, in the kitchen, sleeping, eating. SpencerForeman.com, WPLaunchFi.com, DeepSeek, talking to Xi Jinping.
Well, we all are, aren't we? So we're going to end the podcast show. We've got a couple more stories to discuss. Hopefully we will have a panel to continue, and you'll be able to watch the podcast and the bonus content on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. Where else would you be able to listen to a discussion like this than on the WP Tonic show? We will be back next week, next month, folks. See you soon. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.